Welcome to the Go Harvest podcast. My name is Clint Benish, and along with Tim Price, we are so thankful that you're joining us today as we discuss simple yet intentional ideas for ministry leaders. But before we get started, we want to invite you to help us get the word out about this podcast for ministry leaders and church staff. Now, what we want to do is we would love it if you would go out and rate this podcast a 5-star rating and leave a review. And once you do that, send us a quick note via Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. And when you do that, you'll be entered into a drawing for one of our free resources.
Thanks for joining me today, Clint. We're going to spend some time talking about an important aspect to staying in ministry for the long haul, and that is finances. You don't have to be in ministry very long to know that it's not a big moneymaker. And though grateful for many blessings, grateful for the opportunity to earn a salary serving in full-time ministry, there is a sacrifice, but there is joy as well. And unlike other avenues of making a living in life, it's not all about money. It's knowing that you're doing what you're called to be doing and still able to reach out. And there's callings in all aspects of life, and not everybody's just in it for the money. I realize that. And I also know that life is about seasons, and that finances seem to be no different. Sometimes things are rolling along, and other times it's a struggle. And so we've all experienced that to some degree. And we should have started this podcast a little earlier, Clint, because we just sat here and spent 10 minutes talking about money, life, and salaries and ministry. But before we get too far, how important can this topic be? Is this something that people are thinking about or need to think about, or is it just so much ingrained that once you bring it up, everybody's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very important for us to think about, you know, there's a common misconception that money is the most talked about thing that Jesus taught on. And it's actually the kingdom of God. But it is like 15% of his teachings is on money, like, and the importance of like how we spend it, what we should do with it, and all that kind of jazz. So like, you know, if Jesus taught about money or in belongings and stuff, that much, I think it's super important that we at least, you know, wrap our minds around it.
Yep.
Yeah. So to live within your means requires you to spend less than the amount that you bring in. And I know that it's easier said than done. And it actually doesn't always have, a lot to do with the amount of your income. And here are some thoughts regarding this freedom. And the first one is, always tithe.
Yeah, and this is just a little series of bullet points here like we usually have, but always tithe has to be sort of a foundation. And I remember hearing a preacher one time say that you're gonna be a fool either way, either to not give at all or to trust God to give 10% of your earnings. Either way, it's crazy to think about that concept. But if we're going to be all in and we're going to trust God with our lives, and our finances are such a huge part of that. And we've experienced this over and over, just tithing to the ministry of the kingdom work. And, you know, my parents didn't ever sit down and just say, hey, tithe. I mean, it wasn't like that happened, but it was more like a family kind of, I remember one time, just vague memory one time of hearing a conversation at home where we had gotten behind in giving money to the church. And kind of at the end of the year, wrote a huge check, even though we really couldn't. And just like caught up before the end of the year. And so maybe those are the kinds of things that stuck in there. And again, not judging, because we want to give joyfully and not begrudgingly. But we have, though we fully don't understand it, have never been able to outgive God. Like, we have given 10% of our money that we earn, and sometimes a little bit more, and it just blows my mind. I mean, it's like you tithe, and all of a sudden, it seems like it's almost like you can't give enough. And so it just kind of, it's joyful, but it also takes out that idea that we're saving for a rainy day, and we do save money as well, but it's not like we're putting our trust in our funds. Like, that's not gonna help you, especially if you have some major catastrophic thing happen. It's all gone. Yep. So it doesn't really matter anyway. Yep. So we might as well invest it in kingdom seeds and do things. So yeah, tithing is a foundational one for sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's super important. I remember when I was in my early 20s and I started just like working like a normal like 40 hour job or whatever. And for whatever reason, you know, I was just like kind of like living life. This is before my wife and I were married, Tina and I were married. And for whatever reason, I would always like, you know, at the end of the pay cycle or whatever, I'd always be like broke. I'd be out of money. And I'd be like, oh my goodness, where'd all my money go? You know? And I went through a class thing and I decided that like, hey, I'm actually going to like, you know, take 10% of my check and right off the top and give that to the church. And I started tithing, you know, cause it's something, it's a spiritual discipline that we should do. And I started doing that. And really what's crazy is like from that moment on, even though I had less money, you know, when it came time at the end of the month or whatever, I still had some money, you know, and, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, is it a, you know, God has blessed me, you know, in some way or another, or is it like that I'm actually like constantly thinking about my money in that aspect, you know? So I think it's a good practice either way, but I think that God does bless us when we are faithful.
Yep. Here's another one I love. Enjoy free. So I have always just thought free things were fun. And I realize there are strings attached and like there's always something if you get a free meal and all these different things. But it's just fun to see what's in the world and enjoy what's going on for free. And so not that this should only apply to people who don't have a humongous income. Like this isn't only geared toward like ministry leaders. This is geared toward anyone. And it's just a mindset change that kind of says, wow, that's awesome. It's fun to go to, you know, do things that don't cost any money. And that doesn't mean you never go anywhere and buy a ticket or whatever, but there's a lot of stuff in the world that you can go see, a lot of nature things, a lot of hiking, a lot of photography, a lot of just, you know, there's a lot of things that are so fun. And so a few of those things for me are things like punch cards. And I realize, you know, if you go get a free lunch on a punch card, you've spent 9 lunches, you know, paying for it. Yeah. But it's fun to use those things.
Yep.
And coupons, and oil change cards, contests, drawings. About 10 years ago, the image is kind of faded now as far as the reputation. But about 10, 12 years ago, during our junior high, middle school conference, for like 3 years in a row, it landed on the same day as the bank here on the corner had their customer appreciation day. And I literally took the whole Harvest band up there for lunch each of those 3 years. And we had signed up for drawings. And so it was like barbecue, like pulled pork and everything. It was awesome.
Wow.
And so we banked there. So I was like, well, yeah, that's great. So maybe it was a little crazy to take 7 people up there for lunch. But, you know, they got free Frisbees 1 year. And 1 year I put my name in for a drawing and, you know, won a $100 Visa MasterCard or Visa gift card, just general.
Oh, wow.
In the drawing that day before Ignition. And
that's
so,
pretty awesome.
And then after like 3 years, the day didn't fall on that day, but it happened to fall on the Lowe's appreciation day. And so we all went over there.
You drove the Lowe's from here.
Yeah, we drove
that's
over the Lowe's.
That's hilarious.
So, and really it's kind of more like the fun of just like talking, but I also love the Rural King free customer appreciation mm-hmm. lunches. And it's an experience like there's, you know, fresh little chickens there and everybody runs around eating donuts and popcorn and hot dogs and they're not very healthy, I don't guess, but. Anyway, I even created a blog post once of my 30 favorite places around the Midwest, and maybe we'll link that, just places to stop and see things like, you know, the Superman statue and all the Lincoln sites. I mean, it just blows your mind. I mean, one of the things I love about even going to Washington, D.C. was that all the tax money we've paid over the years, there's 1 million high-class things to look at in Washington, D.C. It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is get there.
Yeah, and that's pretty awesome.
It's pretty neat. But anyway. Contentment is the key really for like game nights and sunsets and hanging out at the ocean and stuff like that. I mean, that's like, you got to enjoy free stuff.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. I remember whenever we first moved here, 4 years ago, you sent me a text message and like, hey, you going to Rural King? And I was like, what are you talking? I'm like, Rural King, for those who don't know, it's kind of like a farming kind of store and whatnot. It's kind of like a farmer's version of Walmart. But and I was like, no, why am I going to Rural King? And you're like, oh, it's customer appreciation day. I'm like, there's like hot dogs and popcorn and donuts and soda. I'm like, going now.
It's a party.
It was awesome. So yeah. And that's really where I learned firsthand your love for enjoying free things. So I thought that's awesome. But I see our talking point here. The next one is be extravagant. So how does being extravagant fit into all this?
Yeah. Well, and this is also just another thought I had in terms of, you know, living within your means. And that is that because you're living within your means doesn't mean that you have to like be, you know, sad, shriveled up, stay at home, never go anywhere type person. There's ways to be extravagant. And at times that might mean there's been times when we've gotten extra money and we have determined that the tithe on this extra money is going to go to some other thing than the church. And maybe that's not technically a tithe then, because, you know, whatever, but we'll take that money. And so we did this last December. We went and we were shopping at a little store and we found a gift card, and we had no idea what it was for. And it was for a little barbecue place in this town. And so we went, we came home and we called the number, and it was a Low Life gift card. Didn't have like a, you know, code on it or anything on the back. We just had to call the restaurant and there's just ask how much was on this card. So it didn't have a magnetic strip, I don't guess. It just had a number.
Oh, wow.
And so we called and gave them the number, and they say, yeah, it's got $25 on it. So somebody dropped a $25 gift card to this barbecue place. So about 6 months later, we were back in that town and we stopped at the barbecue place and we ate there for lunch, and we used our gift card, and it just about covered, you know, a lunch for four people, a couple extra dollars. But that was one of the days that we had gotten some extra money. And so we gave the girl a $50 tip.
Oh, wow.
And so, we were sitting there that day, we pulled up two kids and family, and we're like, we're going to bless somebody today, and we just want to see which person it is. So we just kind of watched around and see who was going to tell us what. And of course, the person we talked to the most was our waitress. And yeah. So she was talking about getting married soon and this and that. And so we gave her that. But so that's an extravagant in the sense of actual money. And to some people, I guess a $50 tip for a small meal is always extravagant.
That's pretty legit.
But anyway, the other cool thing about extravagance I thought of a few years back was the term frugal extravagance. And that is to be over the top with things that don't cost any money. So there's a lot of things you can do, and some of those are loving your family, listening to people without looking at your phone, going crazy with social media comments, and just, you know, over the top on birthday greetings. And I don't do this all the time, but, you know, just really give crazy amount of compliments and a crazy amount of words and a crazy amount of encouragement, and really to be extravagant with things that don't cost any money. And a lot of that is time and love and eye contact. It's weird to think about being extravagant with eye contact. And that could be creepy.
Well, you're talking about like social media and like phones and stuff like that, and working with students and like student ministry, it is so hard at times to like have a conversation with them where they don't like bust out the phone and they're looking at it. But it's so funny because, like, you know, I could say, hey, you listen to me? And they're like, oh, yeah. Da-da-da. And they just rattle off exactly what I said. But there's still something about like having eye contact and like not pulling out your phone and just like giving 100% of the attention. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So practical or frugal extravagance is just a fun thing, especially if you have kids at home.
Yes. Yes.
Because they need like a lot of extravagance of things that don't cost anything. And a good example of that is bubble wrap at Christmas time.
Oh,
so you can spend $150 on some item, and you wrap it up in a box with bubble wrap, and they open it and they put the $150 item on the floor and ooh off for about 2 seconds, and then they start popping the bubbles. Yeah. That's frugal extravagance.
Yep. Yep. Every single time we get an Amazon box, you know, my son, he'll go and want to see if there's any bubble wrap or if like the packaging is like a bubble envelope, and he'll just spend however long popping every single one, having a good old time.
So 1 year for Christmas, we actually got a roll of bubble wrap.
Are you serious? That is awesome.
It's a big, huge box, huge roll of big bubbles.
Man, where did you find that at?
I have no idea. I was a kid.
Oh, so when you were a kid. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. I thought you meant for like your girls.
Oh, no.
That's
I'd never
funny.
Spend money on that.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, here's another interesting idea. Practice resourcefulness.
That's a good word.
Yeah, resourcefulness. And, you know, kind of like a little bit of that could be, you know, like enjoying those free things, like, you know, those customer appreciation days, and just taking advantage of like every discount that you can here and there. But, you know, one way to do that is like just like learning how to do things yourself. You know, I, for whatever reason, I've always had this mentality of like trying to like fix something myself first. And, one of the most recent things, that I can remember is just changing a headlight in your car. You know, mm-hmm. I used to have an HHR, and it was a pain in the butt to get to where the light is. You had to take out the wheel well curtain and then like snake your hand in there to get to the light. And you needed a special tool. The special tool is like $20. And I had to go to like 5 part stores to find it. And it took me, you know, about 45 minutes to an hour to change this light bulb that it was super hard to find. And, you know, light bulb was like, I don't know, $20 or whatever. The tool was $20. It was $40. And I was just kind of curious. And I was like, well, I'm going to call the dealer. So I call the dealer and I like, you know, get a hold of the parts and the service guy. And it would have been like $250 to do this. Mm. And just because, you know, I just had the kind of like, you know, well, I'm going to get a tool. I'm going to learn how to do it. Watch YouTube videos. There's so many great lessons out there that you can learn. But just being resourceful for what's in front of you to do something. Literally say, it was like I got a $210 raise that week because yeah. I didn't have to. Have to do anything.
That's a good example of resourcefulness.
Yeah.
And some people are more inclined toward that than others.
Yes.
You're definitely more inclined.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. I, well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, working in ministry, you know, it's not like I haven't ever felt like my family has like, you know, wanted, you know what I mean? Or like where we were hungry or anything like that. Or, you know, the car was broken. We couldn't get it fixed. But part of that I think is because I've always been willing to like, well, let me see if I can fix this first. And if I can't, then we'll get a professional, you yeah. know? So, and there's certain things that I won't try, like electric, like the house electrical or plumbing and stuff like that. I could just see myself causing bigger issues. And then in the, then on the flip side of that, it's not really being resourceful.
yeah, that's true. And this might lead us on that's great. And this might lead us on too much of a rabbit trail, but, you know, is it possible in all this living within your means to be at a spot where you're not even able to? I mean, what would you say to somebody that's not even able to spend any money to even get their car running? Like, yeah, oh, yeah. Like that gets into a whole nother thing that might be too much for this podcast.
Yeah,
poverty and some different things. But if you're kind of preaching a message to say, hey, make sure you're living within your means, then I guess it just goes so many ways. I mean, like either people have to come up with a way to figure out how to get some means to live within.
Yeah.
Or I just don't know. It just seems daunting.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many ways you can go with that. You know, I used to work in sales. When I was working in sales, ingrained in me was this term preventative maintenance, you know, and it always came with like, you know, the extended warranties, all that kind of stuff. But if, and I don't know if we're going to talk about this later on or where we're at and things, but like preventative maintenance is just like taking care of what you have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so like, hey, why is this light on my car? What's this noise that this thing is making? You know, like just kind of seeing what's going on and, you know, getting things like oil changes, airing up your tires to the right pressure, all that kind of stuff, rotating your tires when you get an oil change, like all this stuff, you know, helps the longevity of your car. I know we're talking about car right now, but that's like anything really, you know. You know, it's like I can't even think of it.
Just the discipline of caring for what you have so
exactly.
that it lasts longer, and that's part of resourcefulness too.
Yeah. My dad would always say this to me about like my guitars or when I was in high school and I played hockey. He would always like when I was in high school, you know, I was a knucklehead and like I just kind of like throw my hockey sticks here and there. I just like set my guitar down here and there. And my dad would always say, Clint, these are the tools of your trade. You have to take care of these things. And if you don't take care of them, you won't have them. And then you can't do what you want to do with them. Yep. You know, so I think that right there, I think is like the birth of like my mindset of kind of trying to take care of things.
That's good.
But you can be resourceful and it doesn't have to cost you a penny. What you do have in your possession, you know, like what do you have in your possession, right? There was a sign I saw once and it said, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. And it's surprising how resourceful you can be when it's like a challenge in life.
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
what you were just talking about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's where most resourcefulness comes from is when you bump up against something, you got to figure out how to do it.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And there is a difference between being frugal and cheap. You know, you need to buy some things in life, but there's a there's a very popular movement with millennials where you try to spend as little as possible.
Oh yeah. I've read several books of people that are just like homesteading and they look at their fingernails like, why do we paint our fingernails? There's no reason for that. It's just a cultural phenomenon that they want you to do this. So
yeah,
no more money spent on that. No more spent on this.
Yeah.
It cuts their gutter rainwater. I mean, it's just a totally major thing of no debt.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it's crazy.
It is crazy. But like in sales, I have a different mentality of that. And I guess I kind of fall in like one of the edges of the millennial grouping, depending on what chart you look at. I'm kind of in there, but I'm kind of not in there or whatever. But I just have this like mentality that like, you know, like for, I can't even give you an example of what I'm thinking of, but like if you're going out and buying something, there's a certain point to where if you just step up to the next level, the value that you're getting and how much better it is of that item is worth the difference in the price, you know? So doing research is definitely huge. But yeah, that's practicing resourcefulness. And we're going to take a moment, 30 seconds, to hear from our sponsor, Anchor.
That's great. And so on to the next one in this list of ways to live within your means, and that is to repel commercials. Which is kind of hilarious after we just heard a commercial from, but you know, the idea of advertising, though it's a fun and creative industry, and I use it in a lot of my work in ministry in terms of putting out events for conferences and other things. Really, advertising is all about making people feel discontent. Like if you can, you know, make them realize they itch, then they want to try to solve that problem. And so if you don't have this, whatever this is, then you're basically not living. You're not normal. You're missing out. And so the problem with that is if you get sucked into that vortex of constant barrage of commercials and ads, there is no way you can escape the discontent and the desire to have something else that you really don't need and don't have money to spend on it. And so whatever you can do to repel commercials is a huge, just a huge blessing in your life. And so a couple ways I do that is one, we don't have TV in our house, so we just don't watch TV. Like
that's like no commercials.
Yeah, there's no commercials. But there's enough commercials just opening a YouTube video and driving down the road and seeing a billboard. But that limits for sure the commercials. If we are in a place where there is a TV, I always mute the commercials. I cannot stand hardly to even listen to commercials. So I just mute them. And so if I'm not controlled to mute, then obviously I don't go crazy or anything, but I'll always mute it if I can. And I also mute most YouTube pop-ups and commercials, just even though it's a pain, I guess. And I probably wouldn't spend money on the, you know, streaming YouTube, no commercials. So
yeah.
I just basically really don't listen to long playlists on YouTube. But anyway, they're everywhere. We see a pop-up at every website you go to and everywhere else. But do your best to basically figure out a way to not, you know, absorb and just take that all in, repel that as much as possible, because it's going to make you discontent.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of funny because you were talking about that, like commercials, they make you want to feel like you have a problem, right? And then they have the solution and here it is, right? That's one thing. But there's also like the another avenue of, I'll give you an example, is I'm in a couple of Facebook groups, and one of it is specifically for praise and worship stuff, and they talk about gear in there, okay? And you can watch it from like, you know, a 30,000 foot view, and you see the cycle of, you know, someone talks about a certain piece of gear, and then everyone kind of buzzes on it, and then everyone buys it, and they share pictures of them buying it, and then like, so there's kind of a peak there, and then like the tail end, you see a few people who are still buying it. But then I'm in another group, and that's a buy, sell, and trade group. And so when this, so when one group peaks of talking about it and starts sliding down, and it's no longer as popular, I go to this other group, and you can see the sales, the sale postings for said item to start going up. And it's not really like a commercial, but it's kind of like that herd mentality of like, ooh, this is cool. I have to have it. Yeah. So,
that is hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, my accessory in the guitar world is my capo.
Yeah.
It's I don't own a direct box or a cable or anything.
Yeah.
I just use whatever people have.
That is.
But I'm also I'm not an electric guitar player, so that
yeah,
it changes it.
Yeah, but even though that's still faith right there. Because you never, traveling with Harvest with you and stuff like that, it you literally never know what you're going to walk into.
Well, and sometimes we do have a sound system with us, but
yeah,
it's just crazy. All right, and so that we don't go too long, this last one might be pretty obvious. You hear it a lot, but the big one for living within your means is if you don't have money, you don't buy it. So that's not really the case in the world today. That just doesn't happen because of debit cards, credit cards. But do you live with that principle at all, or what's the degree you live with it?
Yeah, I definitely do a lot better job of that now than when I was single. You know, I'm married, I have two kids, so I have to think about, the needs of my family and all that kind of stuff. And I don't keep, great track of it, but I have a general knowledge idea of what we have in our checking and savings account. So I kind of know what we're bringing in and what's kind of going out. But the biggest thing that probably impacted my thoughts on this is, when I was working in sales, we did credit cards and stuff like that and credit applications and credit scores. And one of the district managers said, yeah, credit scores are actually interesting. If you have a high credit score, it basically means that you have high potential to go into debt.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going crazy about trying to raise their credit score and using the app or that app to track this. But really, what it really shows is your potential for going into major debt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people who live in a cash system, and because they don't use credit cards and have that stuff kind of built up, they have terrible credit scores.
Yeah.
Because they don't have that debt potential built up in them.
Yeah, that's kind of like a little safeguard.
Yeah, I know. So that's just kind of what my thoughts are.
That's cool. Well, I don't, I'm not a financial expert. I'm not sure if you are.
I am not at all.
We can't give advice here, but just think about, ministry leaders and Christians in general living within your means. But I'm actually not the best at keeping this mindset either. I mean, we were in that same boat of, buying this and that, all of a sudden you get your Discover card bill, you're like, whoa, yeah, I guess we got to pay for that now. And so it's just weird. And maybe we do have money sitting there to pay for it, but basically this mindset of only buying it if you have the money requires discipline and habits, and it requires prioritizing the most important things. But when we're able to do that, we can enjoy the freedom of living within our means. And we could go into depth here of all kinds of different tricks. I've read, all the Dave Ramsey stuff as well. And, but we still keep a couple credit cards because if you do it right, you can make money from the credit cards.
Oh yeah.
So getting 5% back or a little bit more sometimes.
Yeah.
You could just all of a sudden you rack up points and you got $300 gift card target for doing nothing. And I mean, it's just weird how all that works. And I know they're making a ton of money on people that are getting sucked in otherwise.
Yeah.
But, put as much as you can on credit card, pay it off, and as much as you would have spent with cash, pay it off, and then you basically are money ahead. But anyway, living within your means, that is a huge thing, and just really an encouragement for anybody who might listen to this podcast that it's important, but it's also kind of the cool thing to do these days.
I mean,
nobody's running around trying to impress everybody with all their whatnot that they bought on credit.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yep, it is. Well, hey, thanks again for listening today. And as we wrap up, I think this quote here from John Wesley is awesome. And I don't know if he was a financial expert, but this is like expert advice. It says, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's awesome. But pastors and ministry leaders, take care to live within your means. And of course, this is a sacrifice, but you can never outgive God in life. Well, you've been listening to the Go Harvest podcast, designed to encourage the church and church leaders.